Let us pray. Lord, it's another day. I wonder what we're going to do with it. I wonder where our heads are right now and our hearts are. Are we really present with you, or are we thinking about all the things we want to do or that we should do? So, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to become closer to you this day, somehow in the next hour. Help us to be present with you, even if we're quiet and don't hear a word said in this service, but to be present and hear your word every step of the way. Help us then in the process of all this, being in your presence and serving you. Help us to be transformed from a little bit less what we are right now and turn into a little bit more what we ought to be. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I told you about the new dog that we have in our house, Jake. Jake was found on February 7th by Sally. It was wandering up and down on Atlantic. And, you know, as I said a couple of weeks ago, to be quite honest with you, I've been praying that I'd get a yellow lab, and boom, after a couple of hundred bucks, you know, I got a yellow lab that looks like a beagle. But it's great to have. I mean, I love this dog. I have to tell you, I love this dog. He's got my personality. I mean, he does not like to be told what to do. He is motivated by food. But he's happy most of the time. He's really happy most of the time. I mean, he's just a joy. He'll dance and he'll prance and he's just excited about life. You know, it's interesting because when I first, you know, got him, and then after we've kept him now for, you know, what we're looking on all, over a month, it's been interesting because the one thing that my mind always goes to about Jake is, what happened before he came to me? I mean, what was his previous life like? I mean, where did he live? We can gather some things. I mean, he was an unfixed male, so we know he was never in the Humane Society. I mean, we can gather some other things. He had ear infections and one earlobe was all swollen up. And we had to have surgery on it. So he was, neglected to say the least. But what went on in that blank period of time? You ever have one of those blank period of times? You know, where you sort of have where nobody knows and some of us don't want anybody to know. You know, I thought all about that blank period of time when I read the story that we have today. Now, I've been a priest for 30 years, so that means that I've preached on this scripture at least 30 times, because the truth of the matter is every first Sunday of Lent, you get the temptation of Jesus. I mean, you always get it. No matter what it is, it's always the same thing. Boom, you got it. And the story is one that you know. I mean, Jesus has just been baptized. He's in the River Jordan. And we know that from that River Jordan, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what does the Holy Spirit do? It drives him into the wilderness. And he gets into the wilderness where he's tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. He's been fasting for those 40 days and 40 nights. You know, I told you in the past that, you know, the one thing about the Messiah, Jesus, is that everything that Moses did, Jesus is supposed to do a little bit better. I mean, because the Messiah was to be a prophet like unto Moses. In other words, from Israel, but like unto Moses. I mean, we're told that in Deuteronomy 18. He's going to be a prophet like me, Moses says. But when Jesus comes, that prophet like unto Moses has got to do a little bit better than Moses did. And I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, what does he do? You know, Moses parts the Red Sea. Jesus just walks on the water. You know, Moses feeds the nation of Israel by praying to God and sending manna down. Yeah, Jesus, he gets 5 loaves, 2 fish, feeds 5,000 plus women and children. So how does this fit? Well, the comparison on this one is that here you have Jesus. You have him fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, he's in the wilderness, in the desert. Moses, he's on the mountain, Mount Sinai. But here's the kicker. Moses is with God. Jesus is with Satan. It's almost like when you hear about the Messiah, it's, to put it bluntly, it's, you know, Moses on steroids. I mean, he's one up at all time. But how do you take this scripture and how do you work with it? How do you make it so it's applicable to your everyday life? I mean, this is about temptation. It was funny because I started to think about it, temptation. How do you make it work? You know, how do you make it so that you guys go home with something and you think to yourself, you know, I got to think about that this week. You know, and I started thinking about my own temptations. You know, as you all know, I love chocolate chip cookies. I mean, I am, and a lot of times my wife will make chocolate chip cookies. And I've said this more than one time. You know, when my wife makes chocolate chip cookies, she usually makes them. The house smells with that aroma. And then she puts them out on, you know, a tray. And she lets them cool. Then usually she goes out. And when she goes out, she said, you can have one cookie. Well, you know what? I want more than one cookie. And so what I do is I eat my one cookie. And then all of a sudden, what do? I think, oh my God, I want a second one. So I eat a second one. And then I say, oh my God, I'm going to get caught. So I eat a third one. Then I say, I'm really going to get caught now. So what do then? I move all the other cookies on the sheet so it looks like there was only one gone. Now, why am I doing that? I mean, I'm 69 years old and I'm hiding cookies. I'm sneaky. It's because the temptation has overcome me. You know, Jesus is tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He comes filled with the Holy Spirit from his baptism. He's driven into there, and there he is. After 40 days and 40 nights, we are told very clearly that Satan comes to him. And the first thing he says, you got to be hungry. He's famished. He hasn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. He said, you know, if you're hungry, yeah, turn that rock into a piece of bread. Turn your rock into a piece of bread. Jesus looks at him and says, man does not live by bread alone. Then all of a sudden, what's the next temptation? Next temptation is very simply, in an instant, he sees all the kingdoms of the world, and Satan looks at Jesus and says, you know what, all these are mine, and I have the authority to give it to you. All power and all authority, and I can give it to anybody I want. If you'll just worship me, they're all yours. You win the world lotto. And Jesus says, no, you only should worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then on the third one, what he says, if you're the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, well then, you know, truly, you know, let me take you up to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. You jump off if you're really the Son of God, because the scripture says you won't stub your toe, basically. The angels will catch you. They'll hold you up. And Jesus says to him real clearly, you don't put the Lord your God to a test. And then it says, the devil departs. But I love this line, for a more opportune time. A more opportune time. Basically, Jesus is tempted in three ways. One, with survival, physical needs. Then in power. And then in his own identity. If you're really the Son of God. If you're really the Son of God. Do you really know it? Because if you know it, why don't you show it off? You know, it's interesting to me because here are all these temptations. But it never says that Jesus isn't tempted even more, because it says that he's constantly coming back to be tempted. Satan comes back for a more opportune time. But I want to know what went on in those 40 days and 40 nights before those three big temptations. You ever wonder what went on? Do you ever surmise what might have taken place? One of the things that we know is that temptation never comes from a place of weakness. You always get tempted from a place of strength. In other words, you don't get tempted by anything that you absolutely can't do at all. You know, I'm never going to be tempted to be, you know, a heart surgeon. Okay? Thank God. Okay? It always comes from a place of strength. That's what you get tempted in. Things that you can do, not things that you can't do. Things that are within your grasp, that's how you get tempted. And temptations are always Truly, they may come from the outside, but sooner or later they come into the inner self, don't they? They have to be private. They have to be inside, because that's where we process it all. That's where our premeditation comes. That's where all of a sudden we say, well, are we going to engage in this temptation, or are we going to overcome this temptation? Jesus knew how difficult it was. After all, when he is asked to teach the disciples how to pray, what does he say? Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. When Jesus is asked about, you know, things like the Ten Commandments, what does he say? He says this: you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you lusted after another man's wife, you've already committed adultery. In other words, it's up here. It's in here. It's in your heart. It's in your head. It's something that's going on inside you. And that's where temptation is, and that's where temptation takes the root. Even if it comes from an outside source, it has to take place within inside you. So how do you not yield to it? How do you not go there? How do you not get to the place that will lead you to unhealthiness rather than to healthiness? How do you become a conqueror than, in a sense, a loser? Now, this is where I get to meddle. What are the temptations you have in your brain? Each one of us have them. You know, unless you think you're better than Jesus, you all have temptations. You always have temptations. Who knows, it might be something real slick. It might be as slick as, I want 3 cookies, not just one. It might be driving down I-4. It might be coming up here to the intersection of 27th and Atlantic and thinking, you know what, there's a long line of cars there. I can get in the right-hand lane and pull in front of all of them. Until you get somebody like me in an old white truck that says, you're not getting over. And isn't that a temptation in me? You see, where does that temptation come? Each one of us have it. In each one of us, there's a little sneaky part in ourselves that says, surely I can get away with this. But you've got to deal with your own temptations. You've got to go into that place that leads you away from health into unhealth. And you've got to confront it in a true way, where all of a sudden you're confronting it with the power of being in the Holy Spirit, not being in your own self. You know, I never forget the book C.S. Lewis wrote, Screwtape Letters. How many of you ever read Screwtape Letters? You know the scene in Screwtape Letters, which, by the way, if you ever want to read, it's an old book. C.S. Lewis is an English author, fantastic writer, Christian, and it's Screwtape Letters was written basically as a dialogue between Screwtape, who is the master devil, and Wormwood, his nephew, who's in training. And there's a scene in there where C.S. Lewis paints it. These humans are going to be about ready to do something really good, really wonderful. And Wormwood looks over and says, Uncle Screwtape, they're going to do something really good. Do you think we should go over and mess with them? And Screwtape, in his wisdom, sits back and looks over and he says, they're human beings. Let them go their own way. They'll screw it up anyway. You see, we have a propensity to move in that direction, don't we? We have a propensity to make something good into something for ourselves, which automatically starts making us go in the wrong direction. How many times do we do that during Lent? Where we say to ourselves, well, I'm going to do this. But by God, in the process of doing that, you sort of run over your spouse, or you know, or mean to your children, or you say, they're interrupting my quiet time. How many times have you ever had where you're trying to do your quiet time, you haven't turned off your phone, and then your phone goes off, and all of a sudden you're irritated? By God, don't they know I'm studying the Word of God? How are they going to know? And yet, in the midst of your time of spiritual growth, you are defeating your own spiritual growth because, to tell you the truth, a resentment comes in. You see, that's what I'm trying to get at. Temptation, all those things that lead us into the bad areas of life, the unhealthy areas of life, are actually all those things where we have this need to control, this anger, or this fear. that leads us to be tempted to make an action that isn't going to lead to being happy, joyous, and free. To be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. You know, you shouldn't be living life where all of a sudden you're not enjoying life. You know, it's funny because the older I get, the more I remind myself, I don't want to be a miserable old person. But to be upfront with you, I need a lot of miserable old people. I don't want to be where all of a sudden I have my opinion and my opinion better be heard by them. I want to listen to what they have to say. I don't want to be where all of a sudden, you know what, they did something to me. So I'm going to get even with them, even if I'm on 27th and Atlantic. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be a person that doesn't have to look over my shoulder. I want to be a person that is honest and laughs at himself, who can enjoy things, and still probably doesn't like to be told what to do like Jake and me. But nonetheless, is pretty much happy about all things. To do that doesn't mean you can avoid temptation. But it does mean that you try and not engage temptation, because temptation is that open door that says you have the power to go either direction. What are you going to choose? You know, it's funny because every time we open a service, what's the one thing that we pray? Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Do we really believe those words when they're said? Do you believe that all is open between you and God? I mean, nobody else is going to know. But when you sit in that place where nobody else knows, and you continue to fantasize, you continue to be resentful, you continue to hold on something that needs to let go because you haven't had the ability yet to say, please forgive me. Well, then to tell you the truth, you're just going down a road that leads to death, not to a road that leads to life. I'll be up front with you. I probably say, please forgive me, more now than I've ever done in my entire life. I probably say I'm sorry more times now than I've ever done in my life. And I probably say I'm wrong more times than I've ever said in my life. And trust me, I am wrong a lot of the time. But I know I'm not wrong when I say that if you want to lead to life, then don't open the door to where temptation can get its foot in the door. I know that if you don't want to go down the road to death, then don't hold on to resentment. I know that if you don't want to walk into the dark, then keep the light on. And the light is the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, patience, kindness. Practicing that. Being tolerant. Not having to have your own way. But simply listening and knowing this. God's bigger than you, and they're bigger than the other guy who disagrees with you. And you know what? He'll take care of it. You just do your part of being honest to yourself. As you come to the Eucharist this morning, I pray that you come filled with the joy, filled with that happiness, filled with that sense of, I want to get fed. And know you're going to get fed in the very presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in the temptations of Jesus, it's interesting, because the first temptation that Satan does to him, he begins, if you look at your scripture, by saying to him, if you're really the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. The next temptation, he doesn't say that, but he does say, you know what? I can give you everything if you just worship me. In other words, deny who yourself. And in the third temptation, he says it out clearer than a bell. If you really are the Son of God, if you really are, then you can jump off this pinnacle and everything will go right. The question that was presented to Jesus, more than power, more than, in a sense, survival, more than anything, was, do you know who you are and do you know who you're not? And you are a child of the living God. Do you realize that this day? Do you realize that God could be saying to you, to your heart, more clearly now than ever before, you are a daughter of the Most High God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are a son of the Most High God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But once you're filled with that Holy Spirit and you realize you're a daughter or a son of the Most High God, then live into that. Don't live into the other. You have the strength to overcome any temptation that comes at you this day. And with that, and in that process, that adventure, there is joy to be had. Because there's no greater sense of being with the Lord than when you walk through life knowing you need Him. And He's with you every second. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.